Well, I titled today's sermon, Walk the Walk and Talk the Talk. Walk the Walk and Talk the Talk. We'll be coming out of Ephesians 5, 1 through 20. 1 through 20. I'm leaving verse 21 out for a reason. We're going to Ephesians 5, 1 through 20. As you're turning there, I'll start. As children, our parents gave us warning signs like stop, don't touch, look both ways before you cross the street, because your parents love you, and that's why they wanted you to walk cautiously, to walk effectively. All of those warnings were teaching us how to step into life carefully. Who would agree that we as adults still could use and need some warning signs? For example, has anyone ever taken a stroll in a park and realizing that a flock of geese must have just visited that place? And they left some remains behind to prove it. After realizing that you stepped into that unpleasant surprise, you may have thought that if I had just known that that flock of geese was going to be there before I got there, that I would have walked more carefully. I would have walked more carefully. We learned in chapters 1 through 3 that it was a game changer for all Gentiles. The mystery of the gospel had been revealed. The repeated phrase was in Christ. It's about who we are in Him. You're not your old self anymore. You have a new address. You are in Christ. You belong to Him. Thanks, Pastor Jeremy, for proclaiming in chapter 4 how to have a worthy walk. Chapters 4 and 5 tells us, now that you know who you are and know what you have, this is what you are now to do. This is how you are to walk. The goal is to have our walk weigh as much as our profession. You hear me? The goal is to have our walk weigh as much as our profession. What we do should correspond to what we say. That would be a worthy walk. In Ephesians 5, 1 through 20, Paul shares three ways to walk. Walk in love. Walk in light. And walk in wisdom. Let us pray. Father, help us this morning to hear and learn what you want to teach us today. Please, let this not, as I heard in prayer earlier this morning, be business as usual. I also pray that we will take what you will place into our minds and hearts, that we would allow the word, your word, to move right down into our feet and walk it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, I'm going to start there, 2a. So Ephesians 1, 5, verse 1 to 2a. And get ready for the first fill-in here. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love. That's my first point there in a fill-in. God's children walk in love. This is where most of our labor will be for these three sections. Paul says, walk in love. Would you agree that probably no other subject, history, has had more songs written about it, more poems devoted to it, than the subject of love. Love songs for spouses, love songs for family, love songs for friends, love songs for God. All may be legitimate statements, but I hope you don't love God as much. Sorry about that. Let me back that up. Wow. This is a tough message, so it really is. I know it is. I'm going to just say thank you, Lord. Even now, because I know this message is a hard one for me. Just ask that you would just move and just lead me, even now. Seriously, Lord. Have your way. Have your way. In Jesus' name. However, I believe that our culture is extremely confused when it comes to love. We confuse even the application of the term. It's four Greek words for the word love, but it's only one in English. I love my wife. I love my house. I love my car. I love sweet potato pie. I love pumpkin pie. I love God. All may be legitimate statements, but I hope you don't love God the same way you love pies, your houses, your cars, or even your spouse. That would devalue God. This is on your sheet. Many in the world are confused when it comes to love. Got the next fill-in coming up shortly. So what Paul does is put as the subject is God. For example, and this is the apostle wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. How does a person walk in love? How does a person walk in love? By imitating your Father. By emulating your Savior, and by warning the saints. Warning the saints. We'll get there. Number one, the fill-in. By imitating your Father. This was in verse one. Remember those commercials, Be Like Mike? Well, I say, au contraire, mon frère. Don't worry. I have the interpretation. It's on the contrary, my brother. Be like God. Be like God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Why? Because it's family business. It's family business. God's love is immeasurable. You can think, write, and even sing about it forever, and you would not even exhaust it. Remember in Ephesians 2 how I shared that God is going to take all of eternity, revealing or unveiling his love to us. It's a privilege to say that those in Christ are children of the one who is the great initiator of love, because God is love. Some say that mimicking is the sincerest form of flattery. That may or may not be true, but it would be a great compliment to God, would it not? If his children mimic him. Let's say that you're faced with an unlovely person in your life and you pray, Lord, I don't like this person, but I'm going to love that person because I want to be just like you. I will follow you, Lord, as my example. The next fill-in coming up. Kind of like how children imitate their parents. That's the idea. We are to watch how God does it, then mimic him. Lord, help us to love like you do. The next fill-in here. L-O-V-E. Love is the DNA of the Christian. It's the DNA of the Christian. Imitate God and walk in love. I hear someone saying, we need an example. How can we walk this way? Next fill in here, number two, by emulating your Savior. Let's read verse 2b here. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We go from imitating to emulating. Why? Because when we say love like God, it seems to be an abstract word. It seems to be a thought apart from reality. But let's try to break this down into bite-sized pieces. Paul says, you want to know how to love? Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Next fill-in. Copy the actions of Christ. Copy the actions of Christ. Kids learn to draw by tracing. They place a transparent piece of paper over the original image and reproduce it with a pencil or a pen. The next three fill-ins coming up here. I'm going to have you working today. I'm going to have you working. What Paul does is take the concept of God's love and record the steps of Jesus and says, here, do that. Love like Jesus loves. Now, how did Jesus love? How did he love? He loved unconditionally. He loved sacrificially. And his love comes with complete forgiveness. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thinking about that table now. Hallelujah. We are not able to give this type of authentic love unless we are doing what? Yielding to the Holy Spirit. Did Jesus love us because we deserve it? Was God searching the earth and stopped when he saw you and thought, wow, I can't pass you up. You're such a jewel. There's no one, I mean absolutely no one, in the earth like you. If you think in that way, please wake up. Wake up. Smell the coffee. Wake up. The beautiful thing about this is that God knows all about us and still loves us. The scriptures tell us what? While we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. To love like Christ, to love like God, is aiming to love everyone, including your enemy. That's what Jesus did, right? You may not like everyone. Liking is a feeling. It's emotional. That's what that is. We are commanded to love everyone. Love is a choice, and that's not driven by an emotion. It's not driven. Hear me out. I didn't say emotions wasn't connected to that. I said it's not driven by emotion. To love is an ongoing act of obedience based upon the desire to emulate our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a choice. When it comes to love, how much are you willing to sacrifice for friend or foe? This may be an indicator of our spiritual growth. Where is your love meter? Where is my love meter? There's a seven-year-old girl who wrote a letter to Michael DeBakey in Houston, Texas, the big heart surgeon that helped develop the artificial heart. She wrote him an interesting question. Dear DeBakey, does a plastic heart have love in it? Good question. You know how kids ask questions that parents say, go ask the pastor. Just go ask the pastor, I don't know. So, this doctor wrote a clever answer back. Oh dear, a plastic heart has lots of love in it. Because a plastic heart is made by lots of people who love a lot of other people and want them not to die, but get better. The plastic heart has so much love in it that the people will work all day long, sometimes all night long, to make that one plastic heart. So my dear one, he writes, you might say as much love as 100 real hearts have, that how much one plastic heart has, that one plastic heart has. That's a pretty good answer. Although, it makes me think of the greatest answer. For this is the heart of the matter. It's no pun intended here. Greater love have no man in this than he lay down his life for his friend. Greater love. So emulating the love of Christ is to love with no strings attached and to love sacrificially. Imitate your Father. Emulate your Savior. This next form of love comes by way of exhortation. Paul warns us in this next five verses. He warns us. Got some fill-ins coming up right here. Fill-in. Number three, by warning the saints. By warning the saints. We'll read verses 3 and 4. It says, but sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Now the next thing that I'll say you'll have on your sheet, and then we have some fill-ins getting ready to come up rapidly here. We see in these verses that Paul, his aim, he's throwing out this dirty laundry right now. This dirty laundry is not fitting for the saints. It's not fitting. He talks about the sins of passion, the sins of greed, and the sins of the tongue. That's what you have in your sheet. If we practice these sins, this proves we are not walking in love. Here's the fill-in right here. Sexual immorality is all sexual activity that breaks God's law. In the dating scene, boy or girl, male, female, if anyone says, if you really love me, you'll sleep with me, that's called lust, not love. That's called lust, not love. That's a sin. My suggestion to you, if you ever hear anything like that, run. 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 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. I mean, that is very powerful. I mean, all of our other sins that we commit is outside the body, but this particular sin, we're sinning against our own body, the scripture says. Wow. The concept of love has been gravely mistaken. This moment is motivated by a selfish devotion to self-gratification. I know, because I've been there. I wasn't always saved. I've been there. I've been there. But God. But God. But God. Even as if you failed as a believer. Been there. But God. Confess your sins. Confess them. Forsake them. Get it right with the Lord. I had a but God moment. He changed my heart. And he wants to change yours also. I'm blessed to say that I've been loving my wife now for almost 25 years. I know some would say, I don't even look like I'm 25, right? Right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. She's not here. She's working in the nursery right now. But you make sure you tell her I said that. We got the next three fill-ins here. Impurity. That's another sin. Impurity. This includes all kinds of sin, word, thought, or deed. That does not conform to God's will. God did not call us to be impure, but to live how? A holy life. He wants us to live a holy life. The next fill-in, covetousness. Covetousness is a form of greed. You wanting what others have. If left unchecked, it will drive you to the point that you would do anything, I mean anything, to get it. Next fill-in. And this kind of deals with verse 4. Paul starts talking about some things here. He talks about warning us against the sins of the tongue. Paul also warns us against the sins of the tongue. It's quite interesting how quickly he holds up the sins of the tongue as equal to the previous three other sins. He starts with fornication and then he runs all the way down to filthy speech. Silly talk and indecent jokes are attempts to draw out laughs by crossing a line. This kind of talk does not reflect the new life that we have in Christ. Let me hit you with a question here. What's a popular phrase when you go to the doctor's office that you hear? Stick out your tongue. Why? Because the doctor can tell a lot about what's going on inside of you from looking at your tongue. Just as we can tell a lot about a person by what they say. Right? I know that we say that we can't know a person's heart. When we're speaking about that, I only believe that we're talking about someone's salvation personally. Because Jesus said something in Luke 6. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we can know what's in a person's heart. If Jesus said that, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in the very core of you, you will speak. What's inside of you will come out through your mouth. If every other word is unwholesome, ungrateful, foolishness, that's what's in your heart. If the majority of our words are filled with grace, truth, and thanksgiving, that's what's in your heart. And these are the words that will influence and encourage our brothers and sisters right there. Grace, truth, thanksgiving. Amen? Let's read verses 5 through 7 here. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. Wow. So Paul gets a little bit heavier here. He reiterates that list. But notice something about why he's doing that. Paul is talking about a lifestyle here. Remember, it's a lifestyle. So please listen. This does not mean that anyone who has ever committed one of these sins deny entrance into heaven. They can confess their sins and repent. I told you, I've been there. Right? So let me explain by starting with the question. What differentiates a Christian's life from that of a non-Christian? The Christian struggles against sin, and has the power to overcome it. That's the difference. The non-Christian does not. True Christians live a lifestyle of repentance. A non-Christian does not. That's the difference. Make it plain and simple. That's the difference. So we see in verse 6, Paul also warns Christians, and this is a fill-in here, do not be misled by worldly arguments. Do not be misled by worldly arguments. Unbelievers will try to deceive believers that there is no real harm in sexual immorality, greed, or foolish talk. If they're talking like that, they're liars. Period. That's foolish talk. This may be a hard pill to swallow, but this judgment reflects Paul's conviction that the sons of disobedience who do not turn to God will experience his wrath. Remember, God don't wish that any man should perish. He doesn't. He wants all to come to repentance, to have eternal life. This is why we do not become their partners, these sons of disobedience. One who shares or is associated with another in some action or endeavor. This will give the impression that we approve of what God has called sin. What we will be doing at that point in time, hanging out like that with them, we would be hiding our light. We'd be hiding our light. As we're being transformed and conformed to the image of Christ, let us love our brothers and sisters enough to warn the saints of sin, but also be ready to receive exhortation ourselves. Isn't that right, Pastor Jeremy? He told us that last week. Don't we all need to be encouraged to continue to walk in love. We all need that. We all do. Point number two, God's children walk in light. Let's read verses 8 and 9, and I have my next fill-in coming up here. Verses 8 and 9. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. God's children walk in light. This fill-in right here. Physically, light speaks of God's glory. Physically, light speaks of God's glory. Now, let me just give you some examples of what the Bible means when it speaks of light. For as mentioned throughout the scriptures, light in the Bible physically speaks of his glory, first of all. Whenever God shows up in the Bible, he is often accompanied by light. The Old Testament mentions several places where the presence of God was manifested, the Shekinah or Shekinah glory of God. Remember the burning bush? Remember, and I'm going to give you one New Testament experience here. Remember Paul, his experience on the road to Damascus? Bright light. Bright light. Glory of God. Shekinah. That's awesome. This, when God shows up, you'll know it. My next feeling here. Morally, light speaks of God's holiness. 1 Timothy 6 says, Paul describes God's character to Timothy. God who alone is immortal and dwells or lives in what? Unapproachable light. Paul could keep telling us about that, right? Unapproachable light. Our next fill-in. Intellectually, light speaks of God's knowledge. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Thank God he gave Paul this type of grace to shed light on this particular subject. Paul knew quite a bit about God's light. Man apart from God is living in darkness. I believe I just threw that one on your sheet. Man apart from God is living in darkness. You don't come into light until you come into the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. How could two walk together except they agree? Huh? So here's an action step. Find out what pleases God and do that. And you will be doing what? Walking in the light. So how do I know what pleases God? I hear the question. I'm glad you asked. Psalm 119:105 says, David said this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Right? We're talking about walking. You want to walk in light? Then find out what God's general principles are in his word. This means you must spend a lot of time in the Bible. A lot of time in the Bible. We need to read it, digest it, apply it, and then share it. We need to read it, digest it, apply it. I mean, live it out, walk it out, right? And share it. Do this, and your walk will glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Now, for us to live in that light causes us to keep short accounts with God. Don't allow your sin to linger. Be real with God. Walk in light. Get ready for the next two fill-ins. It's a guy named Will Rogers. He gave us a great visual here. Live your life in such a way that you wouldn't be ashamed to sell your family parrot to the town gossip. Wow. Wow. I'm going to say that again. Wow. Live your life in such a way that you wouldn't be ashamed to sell your family parrot to the town gossip. It's pretty good. Yeah. I'm glad we can get a little laughter in right now. So next two fill-ins, let's move on. Let's read verse 10 here. Verse 10. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. I'm going to stop right there. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Although verse 10 is a brief verse, we must take note of at least two things in that. And these are the fill-ins. Number one, a believer is to be discerning. That's the ability to choose true, what's right, from false, and what's wrong. Right? You know? So discern. A believer is also, number two, a believer is to please the Lord. So believers are not to live or walk in a reckless type of life and be people pleasers. If you're a people pleaser, you can't please God. You can't. You can't. Paul links a connection between discernment and pleasing God. We heard the scripture last week, Pastor Jeremy, I believe, Romans 12:2. I'm going to hit that again. This is so good. Do not be conformed to this world, right? But be transformed by the renewing of what? Your mind, right? That by testing you may do what? Discern. That's the word, discern. What is the will of God? What is good and acceptable and perfect, right? All three of these were good, acceptable, perfect. perfect. All three of these words pleases God. All three of them. So let's read verses 11 through 13. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. Whew. Becomes visible. Was Paul's charge to expose these fruit-choking deeds to church members only, or the world also? We're going to take a look at this. Jesus taught believers to hold one another accountable for how they live and to work to restore what? Those who get what? Entangled in sin. That's what he tells us to do. Have you ever thought about being the kind of bright, shining light that when you are around people that are in darkness, that the presence of God, hear what I'm saying, that the presence of God in your life convicts them? I said the presence of God, not you, the presence of God, right? I'll make sure we're clear on that. Because your thoughts may be, I don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable. Maybe they ought to feel a little bit uncomfortable. If you're following Christ, you don't have to be obnoxious. You don't. Just be authentic. Just be who he called you to be. Because remember whose light it is. It's Christ. It's his light. Isn't that right? It's his light. Think of Jesus. Before he came on the scene, most of Israel, including the disciples, thought that the scribes and Pharisees were as holy as you could get. They were the cream of the crop. They were the studiers of the law, right? The keepers of the truth, until Jesus came on the scene. And he did what? He shined a bright light on their lives. And then they didn't look as good as they looked anymore. Jesus' life and words of light struck like lightning to the religious party. Matthew 23, and you don't have to turn there because there's quite a bit there, but you don't have to turn there. But if you do, go ahead. He said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are full of dead men's bones. You are whitewashed. Some say King James Version, what? Sepulcher. Tomb. It's a tomb. You look good on the outside, but you have death on the inside. Wow. Now, remember, this is Jesus talking. He's love. God is love. That's love incarnate, speaking light or truth into their lives. They pale by comparison. The perfect one, Jesus Christ, his light exposed their sins. His light exposed their sins. So whether I'll say it like this. God does love us just like we are, right? Amen. But he loves you enough to not to keep us like we are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So whether we expose unfruitful works of darkness in the church or shine light into a lost and dying world, we are fulfilling our mission on earth. When we're walking around, we're walking around in this dark world, right? We're lights. Shine the light. Don't let it be hidden. Here's a neat story and allegory that I heard a couple preachers share. Mid-1800s, Robert Louis Stevenson grew up in Scotland. In those days, street lamps didn't just come on automatically. People were hired to light each one individually. One evening, as the lamplighters did their work, climbing their ladders, lifting the glass, lighting the torch, shutting the lid, climbing down, and moving on to the next lamp, young Stevenson was enthralled by this. As dusk settled into night, one light would be kindled, then another. and another. He turned to his parents and said, "Look, they're punching holes in the darkness." Simple yet profound. They're punching holes in the darkness. All Christians should punch holes in the darkness. So let your light shine among men, because they are in darkness. So people will see your good works and do what? Glorify. Glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let this be said of our local assembly here that represents Summit County, Portage County, and Stark County, right? Let your light be turned on where you live and where you work. Let your light shine. Go and punch holes in the darkness. Let's reread 13 and 14 here. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will do what? Shine on you. Wow. Walk in love. Walk in light. Walk in wisdom. Next two fill-ins coming up here. We're closing with the last seven, really six verses. I'm leaving verse 21 really out, but about how to walk in wisdom. And what Paul does is basically contrast the way of what? The fool and the way of the wise. And these are the steps that the wise person takes. Point number three, God's children, and this is a fill-in if it's not a fill-in, God's children walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. Let's read that, verses 15 and 16. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because of the days are evil. One more fill-in. I know I got you working. I know it. Number one, a wise person examine carefully how they walk. A wise person examine carefully how they walk. All Christians ought to watch how they walk. We should live a careful, prudent, and discreet life. We are all to be examples. This is the normal Christian life. This is not the for leaders only club. Hear me? This is for all Christians. As many that think it's only leaders should live this particular lifestyle, this holy lifestyle, right? It's for all Christians. This is the normal Christian life. This is how a wise person lives after being enlightened with the truth from the first three chapters that we heard in this book. Don't be foolish, but be wise. What is a fool? A person today would say that it's a madman bobbing and weaving through traffic well above the speed limit. And I'm quite sure it's nobody like that in here, right? Nope. Nope, I don't think so. According to the Bible, though, being a fool equates to one's knowledge of God. It equates to one's knowledge of God. And that's pretty interesting. Psalm 14 says what? The fool has said in his heart that there is what? No God. Huh? Although I suppose that it is equally foolish to say, I believe that God exists, but I don't want him. Is that fair to say? I believe God exists, but I don't want him. A fool is one living in opposition to this wisdom that God is offering him. We have so much knowledge that we don't even know what to do with the facts. So it's incumbent upon the believer to know that the Spirit of God gives us knowledge and then shows us how to apply it. That's wisdom. This is how you walk in wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for giving us knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge, an understanding, a knowing, and then helping us make application to that. Amen. Yes. Next fill-in coming up here. We have to walk very carefully in this world which we live in. Walk very cautiously. We need to gauge every step that we take, just like we would with the field that geese just left proof of, right? They just left a lot of proof. You will walk carefully. Next, the next fill-in. To walk in wisdom is to take steps of opportunity. That's your fill-in. To walk in wisdom is to take steps of opportunity. Make your time count. We don't know if we're going to be with the Lord first or if he's going to come first. We don't know which one. It doesn't matter when you're a Christian. But to some degree, just to some degree it does, because you're here. Now you need to continue to just be faithful to him till he comes, right? Amen. All right. So make your time count. If you take away all the time that you will spend sleeping, eating, showering, brushing your teeth, tying your shoes, getting dressed, grocery shopping, cooking, and any other time stealer, we don't have much time left, like, of our, like, own, per se, like, right? Here's a fill-in. My point is, don't count time, because that's what we could get into. Don't count time, but make time count. Hear me? Don't count time, but make time count. Redeem the time, because what? The days are evil. So take that time that you do have and glorify your God, which is in heaven. Take steps of opportunity. Whoever have lived long enough will say, life is hard. Who would not say that lived long enough? Life is hard. And some Christians say, I can't wait to go to heaven. No more pain, no more suffering. I know, and we do have many that's really suffering. We know that, right? Just hear me, please, hear me. Now, a seasoned saint realizes that it's far better reason than just to escape the pain and suffering. Hear me out. Let's hear from the words of someone that wrote the majority of the New Testament, Apostle Paul. He's a seasoned saint. He wrote this in Philippians 1:23-24. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. That's, wow. You talking about one that's been beaten many times, shipwrecked, served 39, got 39 lashes, I don't know how many times. I mean, but this guy suffered. And for him to say that, a seasoned saint. I said that to say this. Seasoned saints, all my seasoned saints, we need you as long as God wants you to be here. Amen. Amen. I would have thought I'd have got a better amen than that. I mean, really. Amen. That's right. Sister, amen. I'll do it again. Let's practice that. Seasoned saints, we need you as long as God wants you to be here. All right, amen. Praise the Lord. We do. It's true. It's absolutely true. We got many seasoned saints here that we are so, me and Pastor Jeremy, we talk about this all the time. We are so grateful. So, so grateful for the seasoned saints in here. Praise the Lord. We do. We do need you. We know you're going through things, but we need you. We need you. Praise the Lord. And apparently God still wants you here because you're here. So let's get busy and do this together. Amen. 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 Read verse 17. Let's go here, 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So fill in here. Number two, fill in. A wise person will discern or catch sight of the Lord's will. Will discern or catch sight of the Lord's will. And this next thing I'm getting ready to share is on your sheet. It's a little application in there. I believe, I hope I put it in there. Your homework. Your homework. I'm putting the application a little early. Your homework. Find out what God's will is for your life. Right? Find out. Got the next two fill-ins here. It's always the big question, right? What does God want me to do after, you know, you come start serving the Lord early in your walk and you really start reading the word and trying to obey his word and you're like, Lord, you know, like, what do you want me to do? You know, right? That's the big question. What does God want me to do? Well, the fill-in here, the next two fill-ins is God has first a general will. He has a general will. And then the next fill-in, right after that, God has a specific will for your lives. The way to find out God's purpose is to find out his general will. And this is where the Bible comes in. The Bible is God's will 101. 101, you hear me? Start here and stay here. Did we hear that? Yeah. Start here and stay here. You may pray all day long, God, show me your will. God, show me your will. And he may say, show me your faith by your works. We need to search the scriptures daily if we want to find out what God wants us to do. Next fill-in coming up here and reading verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. All right. Next fill-in. A wise person will walk in the power of God. A wise person will walk in the power of God. This is an interesting verse. I believe Paul brought this up because one who is drunk with wine is said to be under the influence. I heard this in prayer today too. This is so good. Someone praying this. When one is filled with the Spirit, they are under the influence of the Spirit. They are controlled by the Spirit. That's all that means. That's it. Well, how do you know when someone is filled with the Spirit? Think about it like this. Think about a glove. It has a purpose. It's meant to do work and be useful, right? A glove is powerless and useless until it is filled with what? A hand. The hand filling the glove, controlling the glove, now makes the glove have purpose and use. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is having your life occupied and controlled by the Spirit. If you do this, then you will walk in love. Then you will walk in light. Then you will walk in wisdom. Amen. Amen. Wrapping up here. By the way, be filled with the Spirit is the present continual tense. It's being continually being filled. We can ask God of this every single day. I hear Pastor Les talk about that all the time. Thank you, Pastor Les, of a reminder. Ask God to just fill me. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Fill me, right? We know the Holy Spirit indwells every single believer, but you can ask him to keep filling you daily. And we should ask him to fill us daily if we're going out to do his will, right? So, Lord, fill me like that hand in the glove that I might be controlled by the Spirit, that I may walk in your power. Let's read verses 19 and 20. Again, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm pausing right there. although submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, is still walking in wisdom. But that's going to be in the next message next week, where we'll talk a little bit more about that. So, number four, our fill-in here. A wise person will walk in fellowship and give thanks to God. A wise person will walk in fellowship and give thanks to God. We can't do this alone with the radio or television. You are not meant to be a lone ranger, none of us, right? We're not meant for that. We need the body of Christ. We do. We do. We are to live in fellowship. Live in it. Walk in it, right? For those who can't come, because it is some that just can't come, guess what? The body should come to you. The body should come to you. And I see that happening here, and I'm thanking God for that again. That's something to praise God for. Amen. Amen. Have you noticed something about any activity, Christian or non-Christian? One of the secrets to maintaining an interest in an activity is to get people who are interested in that activity. And that's why they come up with these things they call clubs, right? Clubs. And if you step out of that club for a while, you may lose interest in it. When you see the excitement of the group or club that you were once in, do you get excited about it all over again? It's important that we maintain regular fellowship. Regular fellowship. Don't forsake the assembly of the saints. I don't know if anyone listening to this message has neglected the gathering of the flock. And because of this, you may have lost your pace of walking in love, walking in light, walking in wisdom. It's hard to believe to say you did not lose that and not continually be in fellowship. Maybe you said a prayer and thought it was okay to just go to church and just kind of hang out, right? But you did not want to live like Jesus. But you're here. And now you're re-examining your life after hearing the word this morning. And God's light is here, because his word is being preached. God's light is here. You can see clearly here, right? Yeah. In God's presence with his people. You can see. In this kind of atmosphere, you can sense God is moving. You are not here by accident. God has been looking or searching for you. Maybe some come here today and say, I was searching for God. I don't know. Someone in here may say that. But I got a newsflash for you. The Bible says there's no one who seeks God. No, not one. But hear me out. You may think you are a seeker, but not. You're not. You're lost. But guess what? Who is the seeker? God. God is seeking after you. And that's why you may be here today, listening to his word. He's drawing you to himself today. He's the seeker. Amen. He's the great initiator of love. Amen. Because God is love. Amen. What you need is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It was him that came here, right? We got a beautiful picture here, right? It was him that came, baby in the manger. But then he came here to do what? It was a body that was prepared for us. It was for us. This body that was prepared, it was for us. And he came, and he died, and he rose again on the third day, even, according to the scriptures. How about that? He did that just for you. He did that for me. He did that for you. Take that individually right now. Yes, if you was the only one on the face of this earth, Jesus would have came down and did the same thing. And then you would have been able to partake of that table like we did today. Amen? He would have did the same thing. Amen. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father, We thank you for giving us the time to walk through a chunk of this chapter and look at what it means to be a true believer, walking with you, taking what we know and doing something with it. Walking in love, walking in light, and walking in wisdom. Perhaps some here are listening over the airways or even sitting here in this room, maybe lost, Lord. We pray right now, Lord, that they would receive your light, your truth, and that they would come to the light, Jesus Christ, that they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Not as a religion, but as a radical life-changing relationship. Lord, you are not confined by a church or a denomination, a movement, or a brand. You're the living God, and you radically change lives. That's what you're all about. So also bring conviction, Lord, to those in your family that are living a complacent lifestyle, and cause us to put the truth that we know into combat boots, that we should walk as we should, go in the way that we should go. We also pray, Father, for the prodigals who have lost their way, maybe, just maybe, made a commitment years ago to follow Christ, but have not walked accordingly. And maybe they never really have come to know you, Lord. Maybe. The Christ of the Bible. If this is you, and you want to know peace, and you want to have purpose, just tell God that you want eternal life and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.